We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's going on, everybody? How we doing? Welcome to another installment of NBA Friday. Though this week, because of March Madness, we decided we're going to put this up on Thursday for you all because we want you to be ready for the tournament. And we're talking about draft prospects in this tournament. So guys you can look forward to in the 2024 NBA Draft. Tim Dandrew here with Parker Field. Sean Mackey is not with us tonight, though this was his draft. We are still going to roll with the all-time best Final Four players. That should be a fun one. I'm actually pretty excited for that. So we're going to dive into that. Before we do, Parker, I do have to ask you, did you listen to Mind the Game?
I did. I listened to the full episode.
Loved it.
It was awesome.
Loved it.
It was awesome. I thought it was really cool. I thought it was funny where, like, LeBron downplayed J.J. Redick's, like, his scale or whatever, and I started cracking up. It's going to be a cool podcast, definitely. Especially for like youth, like I wish that was a thing when I was a kid, like actually playing basketball. Like it's a lot more, like it's fun for us, but if I was still playing basketball, it's really freaking cool. Like to hear how LeBron views the game and stuff. And like JJ Redick knows what the hell he's talking about too. And I mean, it's just cool to have LeBron on a podcast. Cause like, I think he's only done one podcast ever. And it was Richard Jefferson Chang Fry's podcast. What else has he done?
Smartly, which is you might not know that show. It's Jason Bateman from Arrested Development.
Okay. I know Jason Bateman.
And Will Arnett from Arrested Development. They had him on to promote Space Jam when it was coming out. And then I think other than that, I think he did like a couple things that Uninterrupted, like, you know, but
I don't consider the Shop a podcast.
No, not The Shop, but there was like this short time ever Carter had a podcast and it did not last very long. This is like, I like that it's a basketball podcast about basketball. It's not like, oh man, you know, was Paul George going to go to the Sixers?
It's just like about the actual game of basketball, not like random news and crap. Because we have enough of that.
Yeah, I mean, we're doing one as we speak right now. So
I saw literally, and I saw something on Twitter that was like, how many like LeCap moments are going to be on there? Where it's like LeBron's going to be like, 2003, like I saw this coming from a mile away and stuff like that. They're like, we're gonna see a lot of these, like there's gonna be a lot of LeBron memes coming from this.
Oh, for sure. I figured there was gonna be one already when he was talking about like the comeback against the Clippers. I was like, someone's gonna tear this apart. But if you guys haven't checked it out, check out Mind the Game. It's LeBron James and JJ Redick doing a podcast, and they literally like explain like horns and floppy and all these like offensive sets to you. And they talk about what makes Steph Curry so incredible and how he kind of changed the game and stuff. It's an awesome, awesome listen for basketball fans.
I'm curious, are they doing every episode in person?
I think that's the game plan from what I understand. I don't know if it's possible.
Is it possible? I mean, JJ probably does do a lot of LeBron games now, honestly, because they're always on ESPN as the number one game, even though they're not that good. It's LeBron and it's the Lakers. So yeah, I'm curious if they're going to do every episode in person and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm curious how this came about, too. Like, I'm curious, like, how it all started.
Yeah, I like that clip they had to be getting where there was, like, you kind of heard them, like, this is what I want this to be. I want it to be positive. I want it to be And I thought that was cool how they kind of had that insert in there, even though it was definitely staged to be in there. But
Yeah,
I dug it, man. I dug it. So we're going to kind of go through the tournament a little bit and just kind of talk to you guys, like we said, about people you can look forward to watching and what they could be in the NBA draft. We're going to go region by region the bracket to kind of talk about different guys. We're not going to go through every team just because that would take forever. But two or three guys from each region we're going to kind of tell you about and get things you can look forward to. And we'll start in the East. We'll start right up front. UConn, obviously, number one overall seed, defending national champions. If you ask me, I think the best team in the country. I saw them in person this year and just blown away how good they were in multiple different ways. The way they create space on offense, the way they use everybody was unbelievable. So, Parker, that kind of starts with Stephon Castle. He was Big East Freshman of the Year. He was multiple time Big East Freshman of the Week. And what's interesting is it took him a little bit to get going. He missed a little bit of the season to start. And he doesn't necessarily have his best shooting game, but with his talent, with his skill set, his ability to facilitate an offense, his ability to kind of to score and get to the rim so easily. He's really talented. He's a combo guard. He can rebound really, really well for his size, being, 6'6", 190 point guard. Not necessarily the best three-point shooter, but in this draft, with what his skill set is and what kind of, this is more of a draft of looking for solid role players, guys you can start in a playoff series, guys you can count on. I'd be very comfortable taking Stephon Castle in the top five.
Yeah, I like Castle a lot. The shooting does really concern me a lot at this point because, like, if you watch a UConn game, which I've watched a good amount of UConn this year, which also, if you haven't been watching them, I don't know what you're doing.
They're so awesome. They're so awesome.
Just the field. But I also just feel like they're not going to win at all. But with Castle, his jump shot's really concerning because the way they defend him, if you watch them play, they really just Ben Simmons guard him. Like, he doesn't even look at the rim a lot of times when it's like a close competitive game. Like, I was watching the Creighton game, and that was a big time game, obviously, and they were down early. Creighton was literally just letting him shoot, and he would not shoot outside of the paint. Like, he was wide open. They weren't 10 feet from him. That's definitely concerning because I don't care as much about you're not a good shooter. I care more so when they won't even attempt them. That concerns me more because that's more of a mental thing than a skill thing, in my opinion. Like, 28% is bad, but that's not like – it's not the worst
number. It's fixable.
Yeah, in college especially, because most guys don't shoot good their freshman year in college. Reed Sheppard shooting 50-plus percent is just an anomaly. Most guys don't shoot – most guys shoot in the low 30s in their freshman year of college. So that doesn't concern me that much. It's the attempts only at two that concerns me because he gets a lot of open looks.
He does.
And a guard that can't shoot in today's league is not very valuable.
Right, right. I mean, this is Scoot Henderson all over again.
But Scoot will shoot him at least.
Yeah, Scoot will at least take the shot. I think when he gets with an NBA shooting coach, he's going to learn that he can at least take the shot, be a threat there. Maybe not knock him all down.
Let him Ben Simmons guard you because that's
exactly
what they're doing.
Yeah, but everything else, the assist to turnover ratio is fantastic. His ability to block shots as a guard is awesome. And gets a little aggressive at times. He has a tendency to pick up a lot of fouls. He's had multiple games this year where he's fouled out, and he's had a lot of 3-4 foul games, but. He's a guy I'm pretty excited about. I think has a lot of upside. Like you said, like, it might take him 2-3 years to really grasp the league, but I do think he'll be a very good role player in the NBA.
Yeah, and he's still very young. He's only 19. He's a freshman.
Right. Right. Who you have in your mind for the East?
I got Terrence Shannon Jr., projected late first, early second round pick. He very well, honestly, could be get inching towards the lottery if he plays like this in the NCAA tournament. Even though he's old, I believe he's 23 or 24 years old.
23, yeah.
Yeah. Do you know when he turns 24?
He turns 24. I have it right in front of us. July 30th. So he will. Yeah, so when the season starts, he'll be 24. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a very old, much older player. But this guy is very good. Like, if you watch him, he's James Harden in college.
Yeah,
like, that's what I would compare him to. Like, he is a foul merchant. He's already got all the swipes, everything to draw fouls when people are on your hip. He's got all that already. So he's already well prepared for the NBA in that aspect. Like, he's got the Trae Young and James Harden tricks to get to the foul line. Let me see. Yeah, 8.8 free throws per free throws attempted per game. That's nuts in college. Nobody's shooting nine free throws per game in college. Like 23 points a game, very solid efficiency too, 47 from the field, 36 from three. I mean, if you watched him the other night in that Big Ten championship, did you watch that game?
Mm-hmm.
He was awesome in that game.
He was awesome.
Like, awesome. Him and Damask for Illinois too. But, like, he's a bucket getter, and it genuinely feels like Illinois could go on a run just because his ability to get buckets at any time, because we know a lot of times that's been the problem with Purdue. They don't have somebody to just go get a bucket when the shot clock goes down and stuff like that. And Terrence Shane Jr. is that guy. Don't be shocked if his draft stock rises even more, even though he's old. Because this draft isn't that good. There are going to be some older guys.
This is our conversation, yeah.
There's going to be some older guys that are taken in the lottery and stuff that usually aren't.
Yeah, he has a shot that translates to the NBA. He has – the mechanics are great.
He reminds me so much of James Harden. Seriously.
Yeah, he's so good catching the ball off the screen and just putting the shot up on a catch and shoot. I like him a lot. I think, you know, he had 2 years at Texas Tech before he got to Illinois. So he's a guy I'm a big fan of as well. And like you mentioned, so this is his last five. We'll go through his last seven games. 29 points, 23 points, 11 points. That's an outlier. 25, 28, 40, 34. He had 34 in the Big Ten championship. So, mind you, he also shot 3 of 6 from three in that game and had 17 free throws. You mentioned no one in college basketball gets to the line 9 times a game. How about 17 times in a game? That's DeMar DeRozan.
He's a foul merchant. Like, you watch him, he's doing all the stuff that NBA players do to get fouls and stuff. Like, you don't see that in college very often. I love his game.
I do too. And I think the thing that really jumped out to me the most from this year to last year, from last year to this year is what I mean, is he learned to create a shot. He wasn't just relying on someone putting the ball in his hands. And I think that just made him go far, leaps and bounds. So, yeah, I think
that's
those
the
are
biggest
two...
skill to have in the NBA, too. Seriously.
Yeah, I agree. And there's other guys in this region. Like I said, we just don't want, you know, it would take us the whole night if we went through, like, Dalton Connect from Dalton Connect's a Tennessee guy. Donovan Klingon from UConn is another guy.
This is definitely the least NBA talent region, though, for sure. Like, there's not many first-round picks in this region. There might be two.
No, there's definitely not. So, yeah, the two might also play for the same team. So,
yeah.
We'll go there. All right, let's go to the West. And the guy that I'm going to bring up here, and this might be somewhat of a little bit biased just because he does play for a team in our regional area. Kind of same thing you were talking about with Terrence Shannon, though a little younger. I'm going to go with Deron Holmes from Dayton. Just the really nice, insane ability to get to the free throw line as a power forward is really impressive. Now, 20.4 points a game, obviously, 8 rebounds a game, 2 blocks a game. You're going to like all those things. He's going to be A-10 player of the year, probably. That Dayton team is a team that's always under the radar. They're a 7 seed this year. They're a team that I think really has Sweet 16 capabilities if they get the right matchup, especially I don't know if they could beat Arizona. So maybe I should take that back as I look more and more to the practice.
They have a tough draw, well. Too. Who do they play in that first
Nevada
game? Yeah,
Nevada's
good. That Nevada team good. I've watched weirdly a lot of Mountain West Conference because it's the only thing on at like 2 a.m.
Yeah.
So I've watched a lot of them. I agree with you about Holmes. Like, if you look at his stats this season, they're very similar to Obi Toppin's stats when he won Player of the Year in the country and stuff. Like, they're not that far off. Same position and everything.
Same player, same school.
Yeah, same school, same position, everything. He's a really good player. Shoots the ball really well from three as well, 39%. But you would like to see, you know, higher volume before you consider him, like, a good shooter, per se, because 2.5 attempts a game, that's not a ton. But overall, really got a good player, really physical player. I think you can't really go wrong with taking him as a selection. Like, I don't think he's going to end up being great by any means, which is a lot of these guys. Like, I think he's definitely capable of being in a rotation on a really good team down the line.
Yeah. He's a guy that he's going to go to a good team because where he's going to get drafted.
Yeah, and there's not, like, crazy upside with him, but he'll be good and solid.
Yeah, like, I could see him next year playing for, like, the Cavs. And just fitting in really well there. I could see him playing for the Bucks and being really good there. So that's kind of where he's going to be drafted. You're not going to see him go to like a Charlotte or a Portland. He's going to have a chance to play on a good team and learn from really good players. So I'm excited to see what he could be there. And then who did you kind of go with in the West?
I'm going with Jacoby Walter here from Baylor.
Love him.
Very good scorer, very good three-level scorer. Only thing that concerns me when I've watched him this year, obviously the Big 12 we know is very good, and the Big 12 is very physical. There's a lot of very physical defensive teams. He struggled when teams get up in him and stuff. That's what he's struggled with. If you really press up on him, that's when he has had his struggles, which concerns me a little bit, but not too much, because he's going to get in the weight room. He's going to put on size, which he definitely needs to. At the next level, but just as a scoring like projection, he's going to be a really good scorer in the NBA.
Yeah, I think he's the best two in this draft. I would be fine with him going in that 5 to 10 range. You know, I don't have a whole lot of tape on the international guys, I'll be honest, as much as I should, just because it's not super easy to track their film down for every game, even in 2024, where you can see as much as we can for these college players. But as far as him, you know, I know Kevin McCullough is a guy who a lot of people are talking about from Kansas. I would take him over McCullough. I would take him over Terrence Shannon. I like him a lot. I think, you know,
the age thing is the reason, though, for those, honestly. That's the
reason. Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's going to be 19 when the season starts for the NBA next year. So I like him a lot. I think he has a lot of upside. You look at kind of these guys in the league right now, like Keontae George at Utah. I guess that's not fair considering he also went to Baylor, I think that could be a guy you can kind of see his skill set and kind of be a very similar player for. I love Keontae George, so it's probably
I do too. Really good since they've just kind of decided to quit trying to win again. Yeah. They're just kind of Colin Sexton looks damn good too, but
he does, man.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Does the putrid efficiency worry you?
Yeah.
Because it's horrible. Like, it's horrible.
It's not good.
It's really, really bad. The Big 12 is very good defensively, though. But 37% is horrible.
Yeah, so here's what – it definitely worries me. But what
I think it's the physical thing that I mentioned, though. A lot of his shots aren't coming at the rim. A lot of them are coming from three and mid-range.
Yeah, because we're also talking about the situation here where – he's 34% from three and he's 82% from the line. So shooting's not a concern.
I think the issue is he's taking 6.2 threes a game and he's only taking 10.5 shots. So almost 60% of his shots are from three.
Yeah.
So that's probably why the efficiency is so bad, truthfully.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at, the one thing about him that is really weird to me too, is he is a really good free throw shooter. Like we mentioned, 82% this year. He has some games where he gets to the line for 12 shots. He has some games where he gets to the line for 2 shots.
Yeah.
And so, like, he's a guy that, especially in a tournament where you're going to need your guard play to be as good as possible, he's a guy that's going to have to force himself to the line to kind of give them chances to win games. That's a good basketball team, really good coach, and Scott Drew. So, but I think, I think that will definitely get better with time. The numbers kind of have a little bit of an outlier with that 37%, like you talked about. So, I do think the 34 and the 82 from the line is more of who he is.
I agree. I wanted to ask you, do you want to talk a little bit? Because he's honestly polarizing. Where do we think Caleb Love, is he going to get drafted? Because he's in this region. I think he should get drafted. I'm going to be
honest. I do too.
I really truthfully think that he's going to be better than a lot of the people taken in the first round of the NBA. Like, I think Caleb Love's going to have a role in the NBA, truthfully.
Yeah.
Off the bench to score.
Yeah, I think he's a guy you could see doing the G League for like a year or two, kind of go like on a two-way, kind of going back and forth. And that's not a bad thing. Like, the two-way situation is great for these guys who are like kind of learning how to play.
A two-way is way different than just a G League contract. It's two different
things. Yeah, very different things.
The financially pay is very different too. Yeah. Yes.
Financially and gameplay wise. So I would take him. I have no issues with that. I think that he's ran multiple offenses. That's going to help a lot between North Carolina and Arizona and whatever he was going to do at Michigan when everything kind of fell apart. He's been a part of really good teams. I mean, he's won. He's on a really good team this year. There's a really good chance he could be playing his former team in the Elite Eight this year, which would be awesome.
Arizona might be out this weekend, though. There's the way they've
done it's Arizona.
The last 10 years, there's a good chance they're out this weekend. But
Hopefully Sean does not hear this podcast because I don't want to get him upset with
me.
Is
he an Arizona fan?
Sean Miller? Former Arizona coach?
Oh, Sean Miller. Yeah. Okay. I thought you were talking about Sean Mackey. I was like, he's an Arizona fan.
Nah, he's a Kentucky fan. So
That's what I thought. That's why I was like, he's an Arizona fan?
Yeah. I would take him. If I had a second-round pick, I would take him for sure.
Yeah, I feel like he's a very high upside, low – like, for a second-round pick, I feel like that's a really good selection because there's a chance he ends up averaging 15 points a game in the NBA at some point.
He'll be a Laker. And
he does. He seems like a Laker. He does, yeah. On a two-way with him and Hood Shapiro in the G League backcourt is deadly.
With Adam Kunkel now.
Yeah, with Adam Kunkel. That's right.
Yeah.
I'm curious what happened with the Capitanes. I'm curious what happened with that because he was playing good for them. So that was
He was, but he only did like 8 games. According to his real GM profile, they said he released him. So
they released him.
Yeah.
That's what I think happened. Yeah. But that was just shocking to me. But I don't know. Maybe he had something worked out with the Lakers or something too. Who knows?
Could have. Yeah. Who knows? All right. Let's get to the South where we can talk about our favorite player in this draft. Both very similar. Both have the same player in this draft, obviously. I know you have it as effective. He plays for your favorite team. I have his fact that he's my favorite player in college to watch. And we'll go with Reed Sheppard because he's the real deal. I said in the podcast earlier this year that if he was 6'7", he'd 1,000% be the first pick in the draft. He might still be the first pick in the draft without being 6'7". So I think the thing that really jumped out, and this is probably stereotyping him as, you know, to be honest, the white shooter from in college, was I totally underestimated how athletic he was. And
I knew that because like I'd seen him play in high school. He was like in the same tournament I was in high school and stuff. So I knew he was athletic as hell. The thing I didn't know about him was just the, I don't even know how to describe it. The point guard skill of him, like yes. The floor general skills. I thought he projected more as an off guard. Which clearly, I mean, he can play combo guard, obviously, but like I've been shocked by the way he runs the floor and runs the team as the point guard. That's what has surprised me a little bit.
So I'm going to read these numbers to you because
52.5% from three. That's stupid.
Those are just the basketball card numbers.
Yeah.
54%, 52, 53% from three, 83% from the line, 12.8 points a game, 4.5 assists.
2.5 true, steals, though.
True shooting percentage, 71%. Effective field goal percentage, 69%. NBA three-point percentage, 39%. Usage rate, only 18%.
Is he the greatest, like, analytics player of all time?
Dude,
for a single season?
He is, yes. Yes.
Like, what would his numbers be if he was actually playing for, like, 37 minutes a night?
I know.
Dude, like, he would probably be player of the year, right, in the country?
I would.
Actually, Edie just, the production is too freaking...
Yeah,
it's too. You can't ignore it. As boring as he is, he does put up some numbers.
Yeah, he's also, you know, he can kind of do the whole like, which we'll talk about Edie here in a little
Everybody
bit.
Everybody hates him. It's so funny.
Nobody likes
Zach Edie besides Purdue fans.
I have asked scouts about Zach Edie, and I'm like, what is his NBA skill? Well, actually, I'll save that. I'll save that for the conversation we have about him.
Yeah, we'll get to him.
But. Dude, there's just so much to love about Reed Sheppard and his ability. So, three-level scorer, can steal the ball, can rebound, does not turn the ball over. Would love to see him get, I kind of mentioned this with another guy already. I know I might be repeating myself. Would love to see him get to the free throw line just a little more. But also with the ability he has to shoot threes, he probably doesn't need to. Look, if you're the Spurs and he's sitting in your lap, whatever what pick you are, like,
yeah, he,
I don't know how you pass
Spurs
on.
Have the first pick, they need to take him.
Yeah,
he's
for
too
sure.
good a fit with Wimby.
Yeah, that there's that's like your that's your next dynasty. That's your next Spurs dynasty.
I the one thing that I have a question about with him is just the potential. I don't know how high the potential is. I feel like he's the highest floor prospect we've seen in forever. Like, yeah. There's no shot he's bad, but I don't know how much, like, superstar there is there. I don't know if there is superstar there.
Yeah, I don't want to compare him to J.J. Redick and Kyle Korver because that's, you know, profiling.
That's just, yeah.
But could I see him being a career 42% three-point shooter in the NBA?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I wish she was like 6'5". I really do.
Dude, 6'5". This is not a conversation. We're talking about like a 4-time All-Star. Like,
yeah.
Two times.
It's the fact that he's like an actual point guard size. Like, I wish he could slide to the two or was a bigger. Like, he would be Tyrese Halliburton, like, esque if he was like 6'5", is what I'm trying to say.
Absolutely. His backcourt, well, his backcourt mate, like the two best point guards in this draft just happen to be playing on the same team.
And they come off the bench.
Yeah. And the other, Rob Dillingham. And okay, we just talked about Reed Sheppard, the ability to shoot threes, and he's definitely a better 3-point shooter than Dillingham. But that's not an insult to Dillingham. Yeah. Dillingham is a 45% 3-point shooter. He's a true shooting of 60% with effective field goal percentage of 57% and the NBA 3-point percentage of 39% with a much higher usage rate. Dude, lots to love about Dillingham and how his game translates to the NBA. Not so much defensively. There's some work to be done there. I think he could be a good team defender, but if he's in isolations, pray. But if he is a guy, I mean, he's a guy who can be a microwave for you. I mean, he currently comes off the bench in Kentucky. And he's a guy that comes in, he can just score 12 in a minute flat, and it's not a big deal. Just kind of the offense is moving through him. But I really like him. I think his game is really exciting. Like you mentioned, the more exciting of the two players. I could definitely see a scenario where these two guys are in the top three.
I think Dillingham has higher potential than Reed.
I do too. Yeah,
but I think there's a much higher chance that Dillingham struggles in the NBA. But I think that Dillingham could end up being a first-team All-NBA player at some point. That wouldn't shock
Yeah, me. I think his talent is worth the gamble.
Yes, agreed. He is the best college finisher at the rim, below the rim, I've ever seen. Like, it's Kyrie-esque. The layups he does are stupid for an 18-year-old kid to do. Like, they're stupid. Also, Dillingham is young as hell. I believe he just turned 19.
Yeah, he'll be 19 and a half come the draft.
He turned 19 recently. Then he's young as hell. And the crazy part is, I kind of like they come off the bench in a weird way. Like I kind of like it. I just think it's kind of like they get off to a bad start. Oh, here comes the two of the five best players in the country come off the bench.
Right.
Like it's kind of nice. I don't know. I kind of like it, and like I don't mind Wagner being in there too to start because Reeves is their best player. Wagner's a really good defender. He's more physically ready than those two just to, like, defend and stuff like that right now. But I don't know. Coming off the bench is kind of nice. Dillingham is – if you haven't watched Rob Dillingham, he's the most exciting player in the country. He can heat up so fast. Like, he's had so many games where he just – like, this is who Kentucky goes to late in games. Like, if a game's close in March Madness, it's going to be Rob, go get a bucket. That's what they do. They clear it out, and he goes and gets a bucket.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's why this – and what you said, how good he is and then how bad he is defensively right now is why Kentucky is the most confusing team in the country.
Yeah, they really
I would are. Not be shocked if they won the national championship this year. I really would not be shocked. I also would not be shocked if they lost tomorrow.
Yeah.
I
agree.
Explains them.
Yeah, like I have them in the Final Four. Do I feel super confident in that? No.
But... I put 100 on them to win it all. I mean, it pays out with a boost, it's 3.7 grand. For $100, that's just too good, though. Especially for rooting interest and shit. Like, come on. I can root on my team to win it all for that. I can always cash out if they just make a little run, get to the Final Four. I mean, the cash out would be pretty nice at that point.
Yeah, for sure. Other guys in this draft, I mean, we don't have to go too deep. Kyle Filipkowski, not in love with him as an NBA player. And then Marquette has two guys, Osuya Godaro, who has some Draymond Green to him, and then Tyler Kolek, who is literally the total prototypical
John Stockton.
Yes, like
like white point guard.
Yeah. Kolek's been hurt for a while, so I'm really curious to see what Marquette looks like with him coming back for the tournament. Anyone else in this region you'd want to necessarily dive into, or you want to go ahead and move to the next one?
Not AJ Storr, actually, I think projects to be an NBA player. I don't know about this year, but he's got some NBA potential for sure. Especially just like physically, like he's ready to be in the NBA, physicality wise. AJ Storr's the only guy. The rest of these guys really aren't NBA players, to be honest with you. Like Clayton Jr. from Florida. I don't really think that's an NBA player. Jamal Shedd will be on a two-way somewhere. He'll be on a two-way, but I don't know. This really isn't just – this draft is just not that good.
No, it really it's not. Isn't. Especially because we're in the middle of these two drafts where last year we had really fun guys to talk about. And then next year for 2025, we have another super fun draft with a ton of guys to talk about. And then we have this draft here where the talent level is not the same. There's no one, there's no like star potential in the guys that we talk about in the draft. It's sandwiched between. Then again, a lot of people thought this about the 2020 draft, and that draft looks better and better by the week. So
yeah, I have a question. Because I haven't been keeping up like that greatly with the draft stuff. What is Matas like projected? Is he still supposed to be high up there?
Top five. Or is
his draft really?
I don't love him. No, I don't love him.
I've watched a good amount of his stuff, and I'm not the biggest. Like, I see the mock drafts and stuff, but I just didn't know because there's so many. I don't know which one's like accurate, actually.
Him and like, I don't love Ron Holland.
Hasn't Cody Williams' draft stock fallen off?
A little bit, but he's still going like top 10. I mean, he's still a guy.
He was
that...
supposed to be the number one pick at one point, though, of the season.
This whole draft has literally been like, this guy could be the number one pick. This guy could be the number one pick. Because right now it's Alexander Saar, Olivier's brother.
I don't think he's like game changing either, honestly. No. So, like, I would honestly, truthfully, if I was a team and I needed a guard, I would take Shepherd because I don't think there's a world he's bad.
Same. Like, I need to watch more Nikola Topic and Zachary Ruscha before I, like, go and talk about them. But
Tim's going to come back next week. Zachary Ruscha is the greatest prospect I've ever seen. Where are these guys coming from? Nikola Topic, Jovic, and Jokic. Like, what is going on over there?
No. He plays for a team in Serbia.
Yeah.
By the way, Serbia, Team USA, first round of the Olympics.
First round matchup.
Jokic is going to be a quadruple team. They're still only going to lose by six.
Did you see Ant said he wanted to start?
Yeah.
No offense. I'm sorry, buddy. You're not starting on that team.
No, you're not.
It's not happening.
It's not. All right. Well, we're at the Midwest here. So there's a few guys here we can talk about. Creighton's got a couple guys.
We
got
to start off with the big
one. We have to start with Zach Edey. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what I was saying was I asked multiple scouts that I knew, does he have an NBA skill in your eyes? The fact that like your job is to evaluate these guys. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, he's tall.
Yep.
They're like, he's going to be hunted in pick and rolls. There's just no way that he's going to be able to keep up. He can't move. Like they said, I literally was heard this exact quote was laterally, his feet move like he is attached to cement blocks.
Oh, 100%.
So, I don't want to discredit him for just saying he's 7'3", because I do think he can score at a decent clip besides the fact he can just, like, stand over everybody and put the ball in the hoop. But think about it this way. Okay, so he gets switched out, and he's got to guard Nikola Jokic. Okay, he's got to guard Anthony Davis. He's got to guard Joel Embiid. He's got to guard...
Giannis.
He's got to guard LeBron. He's got to guard... You know, we're just going to... Bam Adebayo. I mean...
His best chance, truthfully, is to guard Jokic of those guys. Seriously. Jokic will torch him because of skill, but like if he's guarding Davis or Giannis, that's just not ending well athletically.
No. So he guards Mitchell Robinson. Mitchell Robinson scored on him.
Would Zach Edey be a top five pick 20 years ago?
Yeah. For sure. I mean, Sean Bradley was the number two overall pick.
Yeah.
That was 30 years ago, but...
Yao was the first pick, but Yao was skilled. Yao was very skilled.
Yao was good. Yao was very good.
Yeah. Yao today, I think, would still be like a top 10 pick.
For sure. Yeah.
Because he was actually, like, Yao nowadays would be shooting threes. He had a good jump shot then, so he would be definitely shooting 8 threes a game in today's NBA. Like, seriously.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like, Zach Edey, you could probably make the case, like, he's just a guy they're going to put, like, underneath the basket and just put his hands up. Mm-hmm. But... you know, how does he adjust to having three in the key? How does he adjust to, you know, really like not being the best player on the court in every situation? Because not only is he not going to be the best player on the court in this circumstance, like he has been in college for the sake of being AP player of the year, but Drew Timmy was the guy that Ed loved in college, right? Mm-hmm. He's been playing all year with the Wisconsin Herd. For those who don't know who that is a G League team.
He's not tearing it up either.
No, he's not. Actually, the game that I covered.
She was tearing it up at least. Dude, she played the monster down there.
Yeah, Tyrese Haliburton said he's the best rebounder in basketball. Not just in the G League, in basketball.
I agree, because he does one thing better than anybody else on the planet, literally. Like, dude can flat out rebound. What does Edie do? That's like, he's tall.
Right, he's tall. So, he's going to get drafted. I don't think, we're not sitting here to say, like, nothing that he's not going to have an NBA career, because he is.
Do you think there's a world he doesn't get drafted? I think it could happen.
It could happen, but do I think he's going to get a chance to play NBA basketball? I really do.
I don't know how. Why doesn't he stay a fifth year, though? You can dominate again. You're going to make more money NIL than you will as a second-round pick.
Right.
You're the best player in your sport, in this sport, of college basketball. Why? I don't understand why guys don't just use the fifth year anymore. Like, if you're not going to be a top pick, why not?
Yeah, I mean,
you make
Armando
more money. Baycott did the smart thing. Yeah, he did the smart thing.
He's going to be in college for like 30 years. I mean, he just, you know.
But at the same time, Edie winning the player of the year every year just makes it harder for him to stay in college. Because then it's like, all right, dude. It's like, all right, dude, buzz off.
Right. Yeah, especially when Purdue has like never has tournament success. And it's like.
Yeah. Yeah, especially if they lose in the first round tomorrow or Friday and then he stays again. Imagine.
Yeah. Don't put it past. I mean.
I think he's going to just be like that, like 13th man on the bench. Like, just like special scenarios, they'll bring him in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he'll be used for special case scenarios. The one thing I could see with him, though, I will say this. He might develop a three-point shot. Don't be shocked by that. He shoots free throws really well for his size and stuff. I think he's above like 72, 73% from the line. He's pretty good from the free throw line. He has a nice touch. He's more skilled than you realize. Now, he's slow, but skill-wise, he's really – like he's not just big when it comes to that. Like, he has post moves. He has really nice touch around the rim.
He does.
I don't know. I still think he's worth a second-round pick. I'd say he's worth a second-round pick. He's in the Caleb Love range.
Tankathon? This is pretty funny. So Tankathon has him in the second round, the 33rd pick – the San Antonio Spurs.
Wembanyama, Reed Shepherd, and
Zach Edey.
That's a dangerous dynamic trio right there.
Yeah, it is. Where do we want to go from here, man? So Creighton's got a few guys I really like.
Trey Alexander.
Connect love Trey Alexander.
Lottery pick. Dalton Connect's supposed to be a lottery pick now.
Yeah, I do like him. I'm not going to lie to you.
I don't like that I like him, but I like him. But also, I just feel like he's going to choke in this tournament. It's just Tennessee. But like NBA-wise, I like him. I like him.
Yeah, he can't play defense, and he's going to be 23 when he gets drafted. But other than that.
He's giving me like Cam Johnson vibes. That's what he's giving me. Older, when he comes out of college, can really shoot it. He's just now he's like the worst defender in the country. He's horrible.
He's really good.
He's worse than Edie. He's horrible defensively. If you really watch, like, Kentucky was just going at him and cooking him. Now, he had 40 on the other end.
He scored 40, but he was also giving up 40. Yeah.
He also shot, like, 40 times that game. Like, it was not an efficient 40 in that
right.
one. He's had efficient 40-point games, but that one was not. He has bust, in the gut feeling to me, though. Like, he really does. I like him. I like his game. But I just, like, in my gut, just something tells me, like, he's going to be out of the league in 4 years.
I could see it. Yeah. But I could also see him being, like, the 17th guy off the bench that just knocks down threes. And
Yeah, 100%. Like I said, Cam Johnson role, even. Like, that would be, like, the peak is what I feel like. I feel like his ceiling is, like, Cam Johnson. Like, high-end starter who can shoot.
I could see that. My draft hot take, because I know a lot of people have this guy in the middle of the second. I think if I was a team with a late first round pick, I'd be very comfortable taking Trey Alexander as for sake of combo guard who can run an offense, needs to get better as a shooter for sure. But has athleticism that's pretty close to second to none in a lot of circumstances. Can pass the ball, doesn't turn the ball over, the wingspan is just going to like jump off this, you know, his measurements are going to jump off the of the paper. You know, 18 points a game and in the Big East is not super easy. He's a really, really good player. I think like if I'm, let's say if I'm the Mavericks, if I'm the Mavericks and I have a late first round pick,
I would love him.
Would absolutely love to take him.
Yeah, he has high end 3-and-D wing written all over him too.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
I agree. I just realized we missed Cody Williams in the what bracket is that? The South. Yeah, but at the same time, there's a chance he doesn't play tonight though, so, or doesn't play after this podcast is up. So,
well, Colorado's got like four guys who can go in the draft, and it's like
Silva, yeah, KJ Simpson.
I like KJ Simpson. Probably a second rounder, but
oh, he's really good though. He's a great college player, especially. He's a really good college player.
Yeah, I mean, UConn has like two other guys we didn't talk about besides that. You know, Alex Caravan is a guy who's really good, who has like a really good college player. I had notes for another guy here, of course, this happens. Well, Alex Caravan is going to be really fun. Tristan Newton, I actually really like. I don't know if he's an NBA player, but
yeah. I love Tristan Newton. Do you want to do a like one guy we think can really like improve their draft stock with a good turning run?
Yeah, for sure. Right. Well, I can't say Ryan Dunn now because Virginia was the worst team ever to make the tournament.
I hate Virginia basketball, man. The play style just gets 30 times worse when they don't have talent. Like, yeah. There were NBA guys on those rosters and they were playing like this, but it wasn't that bad or low scoring because they were like Houston now. They were efficient. They just played slow.
Right.
Now they're inefficient and play slow, and it's you want to scratch your claw your eyes out watching them play basketball. It's horrible.
Yeah, I agree. My guy that I think could really help his stock for a good run, and of course, we already talked about the fact that Arizona is so risky to bet on in the tournament. I'm going to go with Pelle Larsson, their shooting guard out of Sweden. Dude shot 43% from three at the college level. I think has a chance to really be a really good scorer in the league. And Arizona does finally go on the run that they've been promised to go on for a decade now. Sorry again, Sean Miller. I do love you very much. You're one of my favorite coaches I've ever worked with. I think Larsson has, you know, if he goes out in the tournament, first two rounds, right? He has a 30-point game in the first round. Second round, that 2-7 game, he has a 26-point game. Sweet 16 has like a 17.7 assist game. Yeah, immediately we're like, what's his combine going to look like? I think Pelle Larsson is a guy that could really do that.
I'm not trying to be a homer, but I'm going to go with somebody I've watched a lot of because I know what I'm talking about here. I don't understand why Antonio Reeves is not a second-round pick in most of these.
Yeah, I was really going to use Justin Edwards, but I figured we talked about Kentucky a lot, so.
I was going to do Edwards or Reeves, but like, Reeves can flat out shoot the shit out of the ball. And he's a bigger wing. He's like 6'6", got good size. I mean, 51% from the field, 44% from three, 87% from the line, 20 points per game on only 13 shots a game. Like, the dude can flat out score. I really don't get it. I think he should be a second round pick.
I do too.
And I think with a good tournament run, if he averages 25 throughout the tournament and they go on a real run, I think he'll end up getting into that second round.
Yeah, I agree. I will go ahead once again. I'll point out Osa Iguodaro. Marquette has a good run. Maybe he's the guy that goes from the first round, from the late first to the lottery. I just don't think Daron Holmes and Dayton are going to be in the tournament long enough to get to that point.
Yeah.
Just because they have really tough draws. What about Johnny Furphy from Kansas? Can we see him hopping up a little bit?
Yeah, he could definitely. I definitely could see that from him. He's definitely improved as the season has gone on too. So like it's kind of those players that have been playing better as the season went on, but started off rough. So not everybody was paying attention that they got better. I definitely could see like we talked about earlier, but Terrence Shand Jr., I could see his stock going up a ton. The only thing holding him back is the age. That's literally it.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to say it because this guy was also a guy who was much older when he got to the draft, but why can't Terrence Shand be Buddy Hield?
Yeah, literally. Yeah, agreed. Yeah, I forget Buddy Hield's like 32. He's only been in the NBA like 6 or 7 years.
Or 34. We don't actually know.
Yeah, but he might be like 34. But seriously, like he's like he came into the league like a year before Fox. And Fox is like 25 and he's like 31 or 32. It's just crazy.
That was the biggest draft pool I was ever in. So Villanova won the title that year. That was the Chris Jenkins shot. And I was in this big bracket pool, and like it was down to me and one of my friends. So we both had North Carolina winning it all. Uh-huh. And I had Oklahoma and he had Villanova. So if whoever won between Oklahoma and Villanova to get to the national championship was going to win the bracket, Villanova beat Oklahoma by like 40. So I did not win.
Was that some of the worst pain you've ever felt in your life?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
One more guy I want to make sure we mention, even though I'm not in love with him, but there are people that really like him. Jared McCain out of Duke.
Very efficient shooter.
Yeah, very efficient. Takes care of the ball. Just a guy you can trust as an additional ball handler.
He's kind of like a poor man's Reed Shepard. Like, he has a very similar game. He's just not as good, in my opinion.
Yeah. Like I said, like, he's just an additional ball handler you can trust. And in the playoffs, that goes a long way. And like, that's a guy that, like, when you need to give like your Damian Lillard a break, that's a guy that you can really look to be like, all right, just make sure the offense, everyone's where they need to be. And if we're in transition, find the open guy. And I think Jared McCain is perfect for that role.
I'll mention one guy to watch in the tournament. Maybe not his NBA draft stock as much, but just a fun guy to watch. Isaiah Stevens from Colorado State. The dude can flat out play. He's a bucket. He's a real deal hooper. He averages like 17 and 8 assists. Like, he's a very well-rounded player, and he's exciting as hell to watch. So that's a player you'll want to watch during the tournament. Don't be shocked if Colorado State wins a game or two.
How much of the women's tournament do you think you'll watch? I think I'm going to watch a lot more than I normally do.
I'll watch the Final Four. I'm going to be honest. I'm not going to watch the rest of it.
Juju Watkins is must-see TV.
I don't even know what, like, it's just like, do they play on the same days?
I think they're like opposites. So their first day is Friday and Sunday.
Okay. Yeah, then I'll probably watch it if it's not on the same days. But if it's on the same days, I'm going to watch the men's, obviously. But I watched the Final Four last year, so I'll definitely watch like the end of the year and stuff.
This could be like,
it's just my problem with women's is there's not many upsets. They just like, it's very predictable who's going to win. That's the problem. It's very top heavy.
Plus, I don't know if they changed it or not this year, but the top seed gets to play at home to start the tournament.
Yeah, that's how it – I think it's because, like, they just don't have as much money to, like, rent out the venues and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how it's been. Even though they're reporting all these numbers and stuff that women's is selling more and stuff, I forgot today. But somebody made a good point. They said the reason they've sold more Final Four tickets is because you pretty much know who's going to be in the Final Four with women's. And then men, it's literally a toss-up. So, like, they don't want to buy the tickets yet. Which, that's my, like, there's no way to fix it, though. That's my gripe with women's college basketball. Because Caitlin Clark is awesome. She actually makes it entertaining to watch. Like, some of those, the LSU team's fun to watch, too. Juju Watkins is tough, like you said. Yeah. It's just,
I love Paige Buechers. Love,
yeah, Paige. It's the talent gap in female sports is way wider, like in terms of Division I talent. Like, there's some bad teams that are going to be in that tournament.
I joked about this.
Whereas men, anyone can beat anyone. Not anyone can beat anyone in the girls' tournament. That's why you see the same Final Fours a lot of times.
I joked about this. So I talked about this in the show. I took my wife and I. We took my daughter to her first game. It was Xavier women versus UConn women on Valentine's Day at CentOS, and it looked like they were playing two different sports.
No,
it was just that different level of talent.
That's what I'm. Yeah, that's the. I don't know. I feel like as evolution goes on, they'll get closer in talent and stuff. Because like girls obviously are getting better, but it's just the talent gap in women's sports is just crazy. It's like college football.
Yeah,
like it's like that's what it is. Because you almost know it's gonna be like South Carolina, USC, Iowa, like LSU, UConn. It'll be a
Louisville,
combination of
Notre
those
Dame.
Teams. Yeah, it'll be a combination of those teams in there. Indiana's good. Ohio State's good too in women's.
Yeah.
So it'll be a combination of those teams. It's just like you don't see many double-digit seeds going around in women's, whereas men's you see St. Peter's go to the Elite Eight.
Right. Like, right. George Mason go to the Final Four.
Yeah. Butler go to back-to-back championship games. Like, seriously.
This close to winning a title.
That was before Butler was even Power 5 Butler, too. That was when they were just...
A-10 team.
The Big East, is it just Power 6 for basketball, I guess?
Yeah.
Because the Big East is a power conference.
Yeah. I get really annoyed by when people do this whole thing. And you might know this a little bit, just because you filled in for me last year for Xavier for a little bit. Mm-hmm. When people do this thing where they're like, well, you know, the Big East is not the same as it used to be. I'm like, they have 3 of the last 7 national champions, all right? Like, let's stop acting like there's a drop-off.
It was
like,
down in, like, the middle of the 2010s, but it's back.
Yeah.
100%. It was down. Who was in the Big East when it was down? It was when, like, UConn was in the AAC and stuff.
Louisville, Notre Dame were just going over, like, just about to go to the ACC. UC was there.
Xavier wasn't in it yet, right?
No, they were in the Atlantic 10. Butler was in the Atlantic 10. This is before the
Creighton was in the Missouri Valley.
Yeah. So Villanova was still there, but they weren't Villanova yet.
There was a little bit of a time where people thought the Big East was going to die completely.
Yeah. Those people. Though
it was rough for a couple years.
It was. But the Garden saves a lot of things, Parker. Ask the Knicks.
St. John's was still there. Georgetown was still there. Wait, yeah. Was Georgetown still there?
Yep.
I believe they were. The whole time.
Yeah, they haven't been.
Why was UConn in the AAC? What the hell was that?
I don't know. But I remember when Xavier played UConn in the Charleston Classic. This was 2019-2020 season. I was talking to UConn fans. It was the year before they went back to the Big East, and they were like, "We can't wait. We're just so excited to get back to the Big East." So it's been awesome having them back, and obviously they're awesome. They're freaking really good.
There's nothing like Gus Johnson calling a Big East game. Seriously.
Oh, it's the best, man.
I love Gus Johnson.
Me too.
I love Gus Johnson.
So
I hope he does the playoffs again, like he did last year, the first round.
That would be so fantastic.
That was awesome last year when he did that. I remember we were coming back from, where were we at? I was with you. I'm trying to think.
Was it TBT?
No, because it wouldn't have been in the summer. It was. I think we went to a Reds game. I was watching the Hawks-Celtics game in the car, and you were like, is that Gus Johnson?
Yeah.
Because I was like, I'm going to turn on the game for us to listen to. And you were like, is that Gus Johnson? And I was like, I think it is. What the hell? It was that
I
game. Trey Young hit that
game 3.
Remember, we were in the car listening to it when it happened.
I remember that now. Thank you for reminding me about that. That was awesome.
Yeah. Because we were shocked it was Gus Johnson.
That was, that's a gem that we need that forever. We ran pretty long this week in the tournament talk, and that's fine. So we probably won't have a flashback this week, but we are going to do our starting five. So the idea is we're going to try to build a team based on what they did in college that went to a Final Four. This is a mess, but
yeah, there's so many picks.
There's so many picks, and especially when there's only two of us, it's like, how do we?
Are you going to do only people like you've seen?
No, I'll probably do. Yeah, I don't think I'm going to go back and do like Irvin Johnson and things like that. I probably could. Yeah.
John would have some guy from the 50s he found on there.
Yeah, he's like, remember when Pat Riley played at Kentucky? And
I was there.
Yeah, I've seen the movie Glory Road.
Yeah.
So. Well, he's not here, so do you want to go first or you want me to go first?
It's up to you. I don't care.
Yeah, we're not
going to snake, right?
Yeah, no snake because there are only two of us.
Yeah, I don't care. There's no first pick that's like, oh, he got him here today, because I have no idea who you would take, so you can have it.
Yeah, it's tough. All right, I'm going to go fun one.
I feel like that's how I'm going to go with mine. I'm not going to try and build like the best possible team. I'm just going to go fun.
I'm going to take the second biggest what if in Chicago Bulls draft history. I'm going to take Jay Williams of the 2001 national champion Duke Blue Devils. If he does not have, I stand by this because his rookie year,
won it all? I thought Jay Williams never won it all. Dang. That's J.J. Redick. That's J.J. Redick never won it all.
So, Jay Williams, listen to this, NCAA championship, all tournament, all region, high school parade, all American, 2002 AP Player of the Year, Naismith Award winner, Adolph Rupp World Runner, 3-time All-ACC, 3-time All-ACC tournament, ACC Player of the Year and ACC Tournament MVP, and college averaged 19 points and 6 assists with 4 rebounds. If he does not get in that motorcycle accident, I don't believe Derrick Rose ever plays for the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah. Did he ever even play after it? Like, did he attempt?
He got an invite to camp with the Nets, but did not make the team.
And then he was just retired after that?
Yeah, became an analyst.
That's wild. That legitimately is just wild.
It was so freaking good.
Yeah, that sucks.
He's in the same draft as DeJuan Wagner, which are two guys that's like, man, if those guys could have been healthy.
He was in that awful draft, too. That was that draft that didn't have much talent at all.
Yeah, that's the year before LeBron.
Yep.
That's the only draft.
For my first pick, I'm going to go with, I'd say since I've been alive, had the greatest season, I'd say, in college basketball, Anthony Davis at Kentucky. I mean, he was just like, he blocked every shot. Every time anybody came in the paint, it was getting blocked. He was the greatest, definitely the best defender since I've been alive in college basketball. And he just wasn't asked to score as much, but I mean, still averaged 15 points a game and grabbed 10 boards, but he easily could have done a lot more than that offensively too, in a different system.
NCAA tournament MVP, scoring 8 points in the national championship.
Yeah. Didn't he win every single award you possibly could win in the entire country that he was available for? Like every player of the year, every freshman of the year, every defensive player of the year.
I think
center award.
I think I feel comfortable in saying I think he's the best college player I've seen.
Yeah. Yeah.
100%. And that's not a knock on Zion. That's not a knock on. He was just what he like. He's won everything, literally, including the in-season tournament now. So.
Yeah. The dude, like, he you don't realize it, but Anthony Davis is going to end up being arguably like a top 30 player when he retires. And people are going to be like shocked by it and think it's crazy. But then you're going to be like, this guy made 15 all-star teams, 12 All-NBA teams.
Right.
Like, you're going to be like, oh, shit.
He just never got an MVP. It's like the conversation we're going to have.
Yeah, literally. Could have won a finals MVP easily.
I took Jay Williams. That can make things a little tricky. All right, let's see. Where will I go from here? I'll go Mr. Timeout. I'll take Chris Webber.
Ooh, good pick.
He was so good. Everyone just remembers the timeout. But he was so good those 2 years at Michigan. Like, unbelievably good. I mean, he was the first pick in the draft for a reason. But, dude, like, that game against North Carolina, he is awesome. He is so good. People just remember the timeout.
That's one of the, like, few, like, games before I was born that I've actually watched in full, like, a couple of times. It's like such a good game.
It's such a great game.
Yeah, and they were fun to watch. Like watching those games, like they look awesome to watch, that Fab Five team. Because I remember when I was a kid, I thought that documentary was so cool.
It's awesome. It's on like four times a day, but it's worth watching.
Agreed. If you haven't seen that somehow.
Yeah. If you don't know what we're talking
about.
I've
seen that like 15 times probably. Yeah.
It'll be on when we stop recording tonight somewhere.
Literally. But yeah, I mean, Chris Webber, great pick there. You can't go wrong with that. For my first pick, or second pick, sorry, I'm going to pair Anthony Davis with a point guard here. Give me Cardiac Kemba. Give me Kemba Walker.
That's the right call. He was
– yeah. That run was awesome in college. That run was awesome. This was one of the first, like one of the first runs, like, while I got into basketball younger, like, I remember everything from – they beat Brandon Knight in Kentucky in the Final Four. Remember that? Because Kentucky was on a crazy run, too. They weren't supposed to make that run either. Kemba Walker was awesome. The step-back shot to win that Big East tournament game, that was disgusting.
Was he
a part of that six overtime game, too, that year? Was that year?
No, that was Johnny Flynn.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was
Curry. I remember that one, too.
Yeah, Johnny Flynn taken before Steph Curry, by the way.
Yeah, the Ricky Rubio one's a little more like,
sure,
he still had a really good career. Like, Rubio was still a really good player for a long time. But yeah, Johnny Flynn is really bad.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know. Kemba Walker was awesome in college. Had a great NBA career, obviously, too. Borderline Hall of Fame player for the NBA because it's not that hard to get in. Probably does get in because of his college career.
Yeah, he'll get
in. I forgot. Yeah, it's college, too, so he'll get in.
Yeah. Probably, you know, won the worst NCAA championship game of all time against Butler because both teams were just so worn out.
Yeah, that game was bad. I remember that game. That game was really bad.
Yeah, but you're so locked in that you didn't even know how bad it was. So you thought back about it and you were like, oh, yeah, that was really bad.
Yeah, and this pick, I took him over Shabazz Napier because, I mean, it's like one or the other, and Kemba was definitely better.
Yeah, and that Shabazz Napier beats Kentucky in the championship. Like,
yeah, The Kentucky team that seemed like they were just destined.
Yeah, they were the eighth seed.
And Aaron Harrison went unconscious, hit like four game winners in a row.
Louisville, then Michigan, right? He beat back to back.
Yeah. They were like that North Carolina team a couple years ago, that Kentucky team. They were the eighth seed, but they were the number one team in the country at the beginning of the year. And they were definitely the most talented team in the country. It's just they didn't put it together at all.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to take another guy who injury fate changed everything. Played for a national title, runner-up, was the first pick in the draft, Greg Oden. If you have not seen Greg Oden's Ohio State tape, holy crap. He was unbelievable, man.
Unbelievable.
Really? In the NBA, he was unbelievable. He just couldn't say
not healthy. A bust. Not a bust.
Not a bust at all.
Averaged 11 and 10 his rookie year in like 20 minutes per game. That's not a bust.
Yeah. He
would have at worst been prime Andrew Bynum. At worst. That would have been his worst case scenario, which was an all-star. And he would have been the best center in the NBA with Dwight Howard during that era, in my opinion.
I agree.
That era was not that strong with centers either.
So there's this like crazy stat. I think it's in all the games that him, Brandon Roy, and LaMarcus Aldridge play together, they win 62-20.
Yeah. No, it's better than that, Tim.
Was it 66-16 or something like that?
I think it's like 66-12 or some shit like that. Like it's crazy. It's less than 20 losses. I know that.
Yeah, those like he was just so freaking good, man. And like that Ohio State team, I know they lost to Florida during their back-to-back title run, but he was the man. He was so good.
Speaking of which, random, do you like Mark Titus? You ever listen to
love
his
him?
Stuff?
I actually
do.
Sean,
I'm a big Mark. I literally just found him like 5 months ago. I love him.
Oh, dude, Sean and I went down. This is four or five years ago when he was working for The Ringer. Him and Tate did a live show in Louisville. We went down and watched it.
Seriously?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm a big Titus fan. I love listening to him because it's like a combination of very informative, but he doesn't take himself too seriously. He jokes around too.
It's the only thing on Barstool I can stand.
Is Mark Titus.
Yeah. Not a Barstool guy.
I like Part of My Take. I like Part of My Take, but I don't like any other shit. The other stuff I think is stupid, but.
Also, all the Barstool people hate me, so.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Who am I gonna go with next? I need like a wing here. Oh, I have a list. Let me pull up my list. Well. I got 15 names on here. I need a wing. Do you know who? All right, I can go with this one. Give me JJ Redick.
It's good. Yeah. Forgot that he didn't win a title, but they were in the Final Four.
The most hated player since I've been alive in college basketball. Cold-blooded basketball player, though. Like, dude has become likable in his post-career.
Yeah, but he really has.
Him at Duke was, like, I've watched a documentary on it, just how hated J.J. Redick was in college. Like, it was this little mini documentary, and oh my God.
So, I remember when he got arrested right before his draft.
What did he get arrested for? Like a DUI or something?
And people were like, you can't take him. He's obviously a punk. And it's like, let's calm down.
Yeah,
because he got drafted to Orlando. And obviously ended up having a great NBA career.
Wasn't good his first like 4 years, though.
Right. They traded to the Bucks for half a year.
Yeah. He averaged like damn near 20 points a game on the 18-19 Sixers. Like, he was like the second league scorer to it. He averaged more than Jimmy Butler on that team. I noticed that the other day.
His first free agent year. Who was it? I think it was Orlando he was with.
He was signing with the Bulls, wasn't he?
Signed with the Bulls. They had an offer sheet. I was like so excited. And obviously it didn't end up happening.
Yeah, I've heard him talk about it on his pod before. I've heard him talking about it on his pod that he like signed with the Bulls and everything. I think he was talking to Caruso about it because obviously Caruso signed with the Bulls. JJ Redick, I mean, one of the greatest scorers in college basketball history. He's the all-time leading scorer in the ACC, correct? Mm-hmm. Still, yeah, absolute
sure
bucket. If you watch it now, that's for people out there who haven't seen JJ Redick's high school or college highlights. That's the highlights you need to watch.
That's
The difficulty of the shots he takes in college, and he just does not care, and he makes them all, is crazy.
It is crazy.
And it was before his time, too. Like, it was before people were shooting shots like that.
I'm trying to think of who I wanted to, I'm doing some research right now.
Yeah, because the pool is literally everybody. You just got to see if they made a Final Four.
Right. And like you said, we're not...
Redick? Here, go ahead.
And you're like, oh, we don't want to take guys who just like... All right, let's see.
Because like Redick's was his sophomore year. He made the Final Four, which wasn't his best years. But, I mean, his college career was insane.
It was insane.
Cold-ass white boy.
Cold-ass white boy.
That's what Mark Titus always says. Cold-ass white boy. That's J.J. Redick.
That's true. He was a cold-ass white boy. Oh, I know where I'm going. All right. 2013 national runner-up again. For some reason, I really like those guys.
So Louisville.
They lost the Michigan Wolverines.
Oh, I know where you're going with this.
Caris LeVert.
Yeah. That trio backcourt was disgusting in college. Trey Burke, him, and Tim Hardaway Jr.
Dude, they were so good.
Was Stauskas on that team? No, I think he was on the team, but he wasn't like the star yet. That was the next year he became the star.
Yeah, he was the year they lost. He lost Kentucky. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the next year, right?
Yeah. Again, I know there's probably 45, 46 different people you can put above him, but for this draft, we're just having fun with it. Putting him with Jay Williams, that'd be fun.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to go with my favorite college basketball player of all time. Tim, you're going to be shocked who this is. He's the guy who got me in really to basketball, like him and LeBron, truthfully, because I was a North Carolina fan, as shocking as it is, when I was a kid. I got Kentucky washed by my family later on, but I was a North Carolina fan. Psycho T, Tyler Hansbrough, was my favorite college basketball player ever. I love that dude.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. I remember the dunk he has over Kenny George, the like 7'8" guy. He just drives to the rim and posterizes. Like, nobody played with more passion than Tyler Hansbrough. He was as college player as it gets, but somehow he was a lottery pick. I have no idea what people saw with that, but, I mean, he embodied college basketball. Dude was awesome in college.
Yeah, he really was. I mean, he was, you know, the AP Player of the Year. He was national champion. He was, what, they played three Final Fours?
I think he was a four-time All-American.
Four, yeah.
And he's North Carolina's all-time leading scorer. Still, like, R.J. Davis hasn't even broke that, and he's been there
him and
Baycott have been there 30 years. I want to say, like, let me look at his college accolades real quick.
I have my last pick, so I'll wait till you get done because you're going to be like, I can't believe I forgot this guy.
Yeah, he was a four-time first-team All-American and a two-time National Player of the Year.
It's pretty good.
That would never happen today. That would never happen. He was like right before that would never happen again.
Yeah, he really is. All right, well, you took the greatest one and done of all time. So I got to take the second greatest one and done of all time for my last pick. I'm taking Carmelo Anthony.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how he fell this late.
Guess we don't know any better.
Yeah, I mean, 1 year at Syracuse, title, National Player of the Year, correct?
Mm-hmm. And on then, the cover of a March Madness video game.
Yeah. Got Jim Boeheim his only rings. Cemented Jim Boeheim's legacy as one of the GOATs.
Yep.
Without that, I don't know if you look at Jim Boeheim the same. You look at him as you look at Bob Huggins, I guess.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, so that's definitely a good pick. Andy's obviously a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Top. Well,
top 10 scorer ever.
Yeah, at the moment, top 10. Well, they'll probably change, but.
Yeah, DeMar DeRozan's going to pass him.
Yeah.
I'm not even kidding. That's probably what's going to happen. That'll be the next guy. Well, actually, Westbrook and Harden will definitely pass him, but yeah. Westbrook, who knows? But yeah, I definitely like that pick. So I got one more pick. I got J.J. Redick. I got Kemba Walker. I got Tyler Hansbrough. And I got Anthony Davis. So I need like a three. Oh, this is hard. This is so hard. Hold up. I got to see if this guy made a Final Four. I have a guy that I want to pick. You're just going to be shocked by who I take. How do I – I got to type in the team, I guess, to see if they made a Final Four. Use basketball. All right, I can't find it, so I'm not going to take him. You know what? I'm going to go with the second because I just can't think of somebody to be my small forward other than that. Actually, you know what? Screw it. I'm taking Jordan Hawkins. He was awesome last year.
Yeah, he was awesome last year.
He was awesome. We were early high on Jordan Hawkins, by the way.
We were, yeah.
When he was like a late first rounder, early second round pick, we were saying that dude should be in the lottery easily.
Yeah, because you covered that UConn Xavier game that year, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, because it was when
Xavier
it was when I was on paternity leave. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was awesome, man. I love that kid. I like him now. He's playing pretty well now. So
you want to know my pick that I didn't know if they made a Final Four? I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah.
Is I used to love this guy for some reason. CJ Fair from Syracuse. I was a big fan of that team and CJ Fair. Really liked that guy for some reason. Big
was that
fan.
The Fab Mello team? Was Fab Mello on that team?
That was a team they were ranked number one all year. I didn't remember if they made the Final Four. Tyler Ennis was the point guard. I believe it was the
Tyler Ennis. I forgot about him.
I can't remember if they made the Final Four or not in any of those runs. Because it seems like Syracuse has always been, when they're not supposed to do shit, they do stuff. Like, they go far. But when they don't.
There was one year they were the 11 seed who had a play-in game who went to the Final Four.
Yeah, they've done it multiple times. Like every time I see Syracuse as an 11 when it was under Boeheim, I'm like, oh,
yeah,
they're getting
going on
Sweet
a run.
16.
Yeah,
they're not going at all, but they're gonna go on a run.
I was between for the Odin pick. I was between him and Emeka. I loved Emeka Okafor.
Really?
Yeah, I was really close to taking him, but I was like, Greg Oden was so nasty, and I think he deserves to get his flowers because we talked about Emeka Okafor last week. So. I think that was good. We got to think of a draft for next week.
Tim?
Huh?
CJ Fair went to the Final Four.
There you go.
I was right, in 2013.
All right. Is it my... Who's the most recent... You were the most recent between the two of us to think of a draft, so it's my turn.
Yeah.
All right. Hell, let's do it. We haven't done it yet. We've talked about doing it, but we haven't done it. Next week, we will do, with a caveat, we'll do the all-time hoop sneaker draft, but you can only use each style once. You can only use one Jordan. You can only use one LeBron. You can only use one Kobe.
I like that.
Yeah, because if you just go Jordan 1, Jordan 3, Jordan 7, Jordan 10, then it's like, that's not fun. So
are we talking about like – so we're talking about like how it looks on the court, right? Because I'm not going to lie, the Jordans don't look as good on the court as they do off the court.
They do in the 90s.
Yeah, that's true. But Kobe's look pretty damn good on the court.
Yes, they do. Yes, they yeah. Well, of course, I'm like a Nike guy true and true. So like anyone else, I'm like, I don't care about Harden's. I don't care about Lillard. So
I will say Harden's last shoe, the one before these, the 7s, I want to say, I loved. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
They look like the T-Max. I love those. His second latest shoe. I was a big fan of those. I got a pair of those.
I just felt like
playing inside and stuff when I play ever.
I didn't realize I had like 3 or 4 pair of PG1s until recently when I was going through stuff. I was like, I didn't realize I had this many pair of these. I love that shoe when it came out.
Oh, I did too. That was my basketball shoe when those came out. I had the all white ones with like a what's the word I'm trying to look of? What's the word I'm looking for the sole? Like the blue sole. What's the word I'm looking for though? Ice bottom.
Yeah,
ice bottom. I couldn't think what I was trying to say. I was like, what am I thinking of? But yeah, those are a good shoe. That'll be a fun draft, though.
That'll be fun. Sean doesn't really do a whole lot in shoes, so he might be at a little bit of a disadvantage, but we'll catch him up.
The Converse weapons.
Yeah, he'll take the Shaqnosis. For sure.
What was the pump shoe? What were those called?
The Reebok pumps.
Yeah, the Reebok pumps.
Sean Kemp. Now, he had the Kamikaze.
My dad downstairs has a pair of Clyde Drexler's Reebok shoes.
Nice.
From like whenever the hell that was. Probably the 80s, I'm assuming. Maybe early 90s.
I will tell you for this for sure. Sean will for sure, if we don't take it, which we probably won't because we know better, the Indestructs Dennis Rodman shoe, the Nike one, he'll for sure take this. I'm telling you now.
Some Barkley posits getting drafted in this.
Yeah, it's going to be some off-the-wall stuff, but it's going to be fun. All right, well, we're going to go and wrap up this week's edition of NBA Friday on a Thursday. getting you ready for the tournament before we get out of control here. We already ran a little longer than we expected, but thanks for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. Hey, check out everything going on the Riverfront this week as we're getting ready for opening day and crying because every bad thing's happening to the Reds this week. also, be sure to check out the Bengals shows. We're kind of wrapping up free agency and getting ready to move on to the draft, which is kind of a wild time. The Bengals have had a fun offseason so far, so that's been good. And then, of course, check out Late Night Reds with myself on Sunday and Ben Brown. Check me out next Thursday at 1 o'clock for opening day. I'll be down at Moorline Lager House, guest hosting with Strawberry Ice, Jeff Trenipal, our guy. I'll be doing his show from 1 to 3 at Moorline for opening day. So come hang out with me. I don't have beers anymore, but I'm going to need something to get through this baseball season, apparently. So on behalf of Parker Fields and Sean Mackey, this is Tim Daniel. Have a good night, everybody.